Hello and welcome. My name is Justin. That is across from me is Richard. Next to me is Neil. And this is the Sabbatarianism Podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing all right?
Good.
It's still summer outside, but you can almost kind of tell fall is on the way. It's still really hot, but things are changing and the leaves are on the ground.
Yeah.
Not because it's fall, but because there hasn't been a drop of rain and the trees are losing their leaves. So anyway, that's the state of affairs in East Texas right now. We'd like to welcome all of you and encourage you to please read the Bible for yourself. It can be done. We've all done it. You can do it too. And if you're new to the podcast, please start in the beginning. A lot of big concepts covered in the beginning, and it'll be confusing if you don't have that knowledge going into other podcasts. So, we are back in Genesis. To recap here, Joseph has gone to Egypt. He was in the jail and interpreted the two guys' dreams, and now they've forgotten him, and I believe that catches us up to where we are here in Genesis 41.
It does indeed.
Richard, with your new glasses, or at least
I'll see if they work. New.
Yeah, let's see if let's give them a go. What do you think?
Okay. Then it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river seven cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then, behold, seven other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Yet it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man there who was with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Also I saw in my dream that suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven heads withered, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, and there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. and the seven thin and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of the Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man whom is the Spirit of God?" And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "So I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent no man may lift his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him as a wife Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which was in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was so innumerable.
Immeasurable.
Immeasurable. Yes. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all the toil and all of my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, Ephraim or Ephraim, "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. And the famine was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he tells you, do." The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. That's chapter 41.
You know, those wise men that Pharaoh calls in there.
His musicians?
Yeah, well, musicians and magicians. And all that. They end up doing some pretty amazing stuff.
Eventually,
when Moses comes in, right?
Well, it'd be a different...
probably a different set.
A different group of sages, but yeah.
But they did some pretty amazing things, but as far as interpreting dreams, couldn't do it.
Couldn't do that.
No. And even in Daniel's day, the wise men were brought in to interpret dreams. Couldn't do that. We were just talking about dreams last week. Was it last week? Last podcast? I can't remember now.
Joseph's dreams, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we well, not sometimes. We need God's help to interpret them.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that on our own.
And right at the beginning of chapter 41, in verse 1, it came to pass at the end of two full years. That would be 2 full years after Joseph interpreted
those guys' dreams.
The baker and the butler's dreams.
It's notable that when Joseph is set up by Pharaoh, he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
So that means that's 13 years after he'd been brought into the land. So he had been in the house of Potiphar and been in prison for a long time, 13 years in all.
Well, and last week, I think it was, we talked about Potiphar being captain of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I forget the title of the guy that was in charge of the prison, but he was probably under Potiphar.
Yeah.
And here the baker, or is he the butler, calls him when Pharaoh was angry with his servant, this is verse 10, and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. So
Potiphar. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I think we're ready to move on.
We can. Chapter 42. When Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some calamity befall him." And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan."
Pause there.
Yes.
To buy food. Neil, as you had mentioned earlier, that this is the fulfillment of one of Joseph's dreams right here.
It will be in a little bit.
They just bowed down to it.
Well, that's, yeah. But yes. They do so even, well, we're missing one, number one.
Ah, that's true.
So, well,
that'll come in the
near future.
So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said to him, "O my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all but one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is as I have spoken to you, saying you are spies. In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your house and bring your young brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear, therefore the distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Did I not speak to you, saying, Do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he returned, and he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, My money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, What is this that God has done to us? Then they went to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that had happened to them, saying, The man who is lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we cried to him, We are honest. But we said to him, We are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, son of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said to us, By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said to them, You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I'll bring him back to you. But he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he's left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, I think that's interesting there, and that's the end of chapter 42, but it's interesting that, you know, Reuben says, kill my two sons if I don't come back. Doesn't appear like
not real repentance.
Jacob had any respect for the man.
Yeah.
I know you've talked in the past of the difference between his plea there to his father, Reuben's, and that of Judah,
yes,
which we'll come to very really
different.
Shortly.
Yeah.
Very different. So keep that in mind as we go forward.
Well, and Reuben would have been the firstborn.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm not sure at this time. I think he's already.
Simeon's locked up. They think he's gone.
Yeah. Well, Simeon wasn't one of the firstborns.
He was second.
He was the second of the same wife.
Of the same wife, right. But it would have gone from Simeon, the firstborn, to the next firstborn. And so on. And technically, Joseph would have been second in line because he was the firstborn of a wife, where the other two were concubines.
Okay.
And not wives until Jacob made them wives. So, but, right. You don't see a lot of repentance in Reuben there. Like, just you can kill my two sons if I don't bring them back.
Yeah. Oh, and he was upset with the others. He said, "I told you guys we shouldn't do this."
But technically, Joseph had been under his care, his responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Joseph did lock him up in jail for 3 nights. He got in a little bit there. Who can blame the guy? But
Yeah.
It's an interesting story for sure. But so, there again, it's just a historical retelling. There's not a lot to glean from.
It's just telling what happened between right. them, and it'll some of this will serve as a prophetic type of what will happen to the children of these men throughout in the future.
Well, and another thing that between here and the next in the end of the book, you without that knowledge, you wouldn't have an understanding of why Exodus exists.
Yeah,
you know that why they were there sure. or anything. So it's laying the groundwork for. Well,
as you and I did in time past, there's a lot of similarities here yeah. in the life of Joseph and yeah. in the life of Jesus.
Yes.
So pay attention to that. All right, sir. We ready for 44?
43.
Now, sorry. The famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they brought from Egypt that their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you do not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Israel said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever.
So he's taking it on himself there, yes. whereas Reuben said, yeah, kill my boys if yeah, you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, very different.
For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned the second time. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it has been an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release you, your other brother, and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand, and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of the house, take these men to my home, and slaughter an animal, and make ready. For these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, it is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may make a case against us and seize us, to take us as slaves with our donkeys. When they drew near the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, so we have brought it back to our hand, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I have sent your money. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkey feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat the bread there. So when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He is still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his head and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. Then he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, and put Benjamin's servings. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as many of theirs, as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him.
In verse 29 there, the second half. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Yep. That's all 12 of them there. Or
that's
11
true.
Of them. That's,
yeah.
That's where that happens. Something I failed to point out in chapter 42, in verse 16, and Joseph said to them, the third day, this was after they were put into the prison,
right?
"Do this and live, for I fear God." That should have opened their eyes to something.
Should have.
But they evidently went right over their head. And here the steward of Joseph's house, in verse 23 says, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks." So he evidently, Joseph had instructed him or taught him enough to know that the one true God was the God of Jacob.
Yeah. So the story carries on here.
Chapter 44.
Yeah.
And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money." So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. When they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you paid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks?'" Okay. "And with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing." So he overtook them, and he spoke to them these words. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants would do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants is found, let him die. We also will be my Lord's slaves." And he said, "Now, also, let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless." Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched. He began with the oldest and led off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house. And he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Then Joseph said, "What shall we say to
Judah?" Judah said.
Yeah. Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, O my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing. And do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down, for our youngest brother is with us. If our younger brother is with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our younger brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servant will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?
You remember that when they took Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the caravan.
Ishmaelites, yeah.
It was Judah who
thought. That was his suggestion.
That was his suggestion.
He's the one.
So now here he is. He's not only repentant to God earlier and to Jacob, but now he's repentant to.
And willing to offer himself up to his dad.
To Joseph.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the next chapter that, Joseph will reveal himself.
Yeah.
And then the real fulfillment of that dream will be complete.
The sheaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's notable that when Judah actually was the one who took Joseph out of the pit and sold him.
Yeah.
Proverbially to his death.
That's what they thought.
Yeah. And here he's willing to give up his life for Benjamin. See the change in spirit.
Yeah.
And I believe, I can't say I wasn't there, but Joseph undoubtedly saw this.
Yes.
What a change there was.
And I think probably you could say the same of Jacob.
Well, and all of them have matured.
Yes,
when all this went down, Joseph spouting off about his dreams and everything, he was, from the sounds of it, he was a boy. They call him a lad.
Oh, he's 17.
Yeah, so they've all matured quite a bit since then.
You know, it reminds me that when we were teenagers, we all did some pretty stupid things.
Not me.
Richard can't remember back then. So.
Well, there is a, you know, an attribute of Judah that he prevails. He would become a praise to his brothers when he ultimately prevails, and he still will.
Yeah. Still yet future.
He makes big mistakes, but he can admit his mistakes and change. Seek real repentance.
Yes, that's the quality there.
And being and willing to give your life up for somebody else, that's a quality that you know, we all should have if we follow Christ.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right.
Chapter 45?
Yes, sir.
Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But the brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." There again, that's that comparison with Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and these are still 5 years in which there will be neither grain nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord to all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt."
Let's pause there, Richard. Something just occurred to me.
Yes.
Judah gave a very good demonstration of what true repentance is. And Joseph, what came to me is Joseph is giving a very good, his actions show true forgiveness.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Real forgiveness is hard.
Well, and
discernment to know, okay, this was God sending me here first, and he's putting the pieces together in his head as still a young man.
And even though everything that Joseph did while he was in Egypt, he prospered.
Every single way.
Yeah.
I mean, from Potiphar's house to the jail, now the entire land.
But when he was in the jail and he interpreted the two dreams, and he said, and the, you know, they were hauled off after their dreams. Of course, the one was killed and the other's alive. And he's, "Get me out of this place," he says.
Yeah.
You know, even though he was successful.
He was running the show, but he didn't want to be in
it. But he wanted to get out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and he's about to make Pharaoh the richest man maybe ever. I mean, by the end of this, he owns everything.
Yeah, that he and Pharaoh essentially taxed all the people for 7 years, took 1/5 of everything they had,
and then sold it back to them.
Now he's selling it back to them
for everything they own, including their house, their property, and then years worth of
more
tax.
That was 20% tax.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't we wish ours was only 20%? Yeah,
no doubt. All right.
Okay, verse 9.
"Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me. You and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all the glory, my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him." I guess they were kind of in shock for a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That they could be duped that much, too, you know?
Now, the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good of things from Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and then when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to them, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. My Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.
So they loaded up the truck and they went to Beverly. They are headed to Egypt. You think moving's hard now?
Oh, yeah.
Think about how hard it was back then. Not only did you pack everything you owned up and try and haul it, but you're hauling animals with you.
Well, you didn't have to make room for a big 72-inch flat-screen TV.
No.
You didn't have a...
But you got a...
Yeah, we got too much stuff.
You got a flock of goats that you got to somehow herd.
Yeah.
But they were good at it back then. Something that we've lost. All right, so the story continues. Neil, you got anything else to add to that?
No, not really. It says there in verse... end of 25 or 26, they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and Jacob's heart stood still.
I saw you giggle at that.
Wonder he didn't have a heart attack.
It was a shock, I bet.
Well, I'm thinking about leaving it off here. We're at 45 minutes right now, just short of, and we've got exactly 5 chapters left in the book of Genesis after this.
Yeah, I think the next few chapters are going to take a bit of discussion. So
yeah, we'll have a little more discussion because of the things going on in these chapters, but we should have plenty of time to get 5 in.
Well, we only read 5 today, and it was mostly reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we
Not be long as long as chapters. Okay. No, the next one is not.
Yeah, the next chapter is pretty short, actually.
Yeah.
We'll just take it as it goes.
Yep. All right, so we'll leave it off here today. We'll be back, and I think next week we ought to be able to finish up Genesis, but like you say, Richard, we'll just see where it goes.
That's right.
How the Spirit guides us.
We may be on it for another month. Who knows?
Who knows? All right. Well, we thank you for listening, and we hope to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.